What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I'm Vic.
And I'm Obs.
And we have
so much to say.
About what though?
Life, meaning, purpose, trying to figure out all of the super complicated stuff about what it means to be alive.
That's deep.
I know. But I feel like it will be easier because we're doing it together.
True.
Each week, we're reading one chapter of Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, and then recapping what we learned right here on this podcast.
So it's kind of like a book club.
Kind of.
This is going to be so much fun. We love this book and hope you do too. Get ready to awaken to your life's purpose with us.
Let's get started because we have
so much to say.
Obs, we are live. It is chapter 9?
9 out of 10?
I almost just said 8. Yep, we're literally almost done. I can't believe that when I'm holding the book, this much has been read.
I know. I'm so proud of us for actually getting past chapter 3 and all the way to 9.
Look at us and look at everyone else who's made it this far. I'm proud of us. Well, you've had quite the week. Coming off of a CNN live interview just last night, how are you feeling?
You know, I'm taking this as my last interview, so thank you. When they were joking, we were like, should we post a picture and just be like, we'd appreciate everyone to respect our privacy at this time?
For anyone listening who is somehow out of the loop, Aubrey and Wood were on that crazy Alaska flight that would you say it was hijacked, or did they have to be successful? He attempted to hijack your plane.
I think it's an attempted hijack, yeah. And it's crazy reading, like, this guy is getting convicted of 83 attempted murders. And I'm like, that's crazy. And then I realized someone attempted to murder me.
No.
So that's just kind of jarring.
Literally, like, you guys are bodies 82 and 83, or like 1 and 2. I mean,
Wood was just like, well, at least it's not personal, you know?
At least it wasn't someone directly trying to kill us. No, you guys are really holding up very well, considering. Did any of the book's practices come in handy?
See, I have so much to say about this because, yes, absolutely. I would say in a high-stress situation, I think applying these kind of out-there concepts that he's proposing to us comes so much easier. Because it's like, when you think your plane is going down, what are you going to do? Like, you just kind of accept that as the present moment, and that's about it.
That's so scary. Holy shit.
I know. I really thought we were going down there.
That is insane. It's like what you were saying in the other episode.
Yes.
Of if I was told I had 10 minutes to die.
I know. It was like, what am I going to do? I mean, I was definitely, Wood and I weren't sitting together, and I was definitely wondering what he was doing up there. Like, that's where my brain was, but I feel like he was involved in my present moment. But someone asked me if, like, I made any calls or anything. And I was just like, that literally did not cross my brain.
Like, I was going to say, I didn't receive a text in Aubrey's last hours.
I'm so sorry. I guess I was enjoying my last living 5 minutes.
No, literally, though.
No, that's dramatic. I think it was definitely a scary 10 minutes, but, like, shortly after that, for the 20 minutes before we were on the ground, we were pretty calm. Like, we didn't know our plane was being hijacked, or someone was trying to hijack our plane.
well, I'm so sorry you had to go through that. You manifested that scenario in one of our episodes, and someone was like, well, here it is.
I know. And you know what's weird is Wood, even when we weren't together for 6 years, was always like, if I was in a plane that was going down, like, I have always said, like, I would call you. And I was like, no, you wouldn't. Like, that's crazy.
When you weren't together?
When we weren't together, weren't speaking. And I was like, there's no way. And I was like, did you manifest this?
Oh, my gosh. Wait, that's, like, so deep that he's always just been, like, you're the last person they want to talk to. Oh, my God.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I almost think he's faking it, but he swears.
That is a crazy story. At least you'll have that story in your back pocket for dinner parties the rest of your life.
Absolutely. It's going to be part of my two truths and a lie forever.
I can't believe Wood was on Evenings with Lester Holt. I mean, that's insane.
You guys are the poster couple for this.
I know. It's so funny. They found me because Wood's mom has a friend who works at ABC, and he works specifically on, like, flights, boats, like, those news stories. And Carolyn just happened to text him the article, and she was like, I think we know someone on this flight.
Oh, my
gosh. And you, like, dropped everything.
Well, remember us when you get all the way to the top.
I'm so tired. I want to be on the bottom.
She's like, too many interviews.
Too much to say.
Anyways, well, thank you for still finding time in your busy schedule to come on this show. We're so grateful. So Your Inner Purpose, Chapter 9. I was very excited for this one. I really did, like, vibe with it a lot. It was pretty short.
It was super short.
Let's dive in. He opens the chapter with, as soon as you rise above mere survival, the question of meaning and purpose becomes of paramount importance in your life. I thought this was powerful because when he says, as soon as you rise above mere survival, he acknowledges the privilege of being able to have conversations about meaning and purpose.
Yes.
I think about that a lot, like how lucky we are to be like, what do I want to do with my life and be happy to even have those thoughts. You have risen above mere survival. So I respected that, like, he acknowledged that. But I think the way he phrased it is really helpful to me. Once human beings do learn how to survive, we then, no matter what we're doing, are bogged down with this idea of like, wait, but what's the point?
It makes me think about, this is random, but animals, he mentions animals at the very end of the chapter, but they are just at mere survival and they are happy and don't have conscious thought and just live as one with the earth. And sorry to jump to the very end, but he talks about...
No, we can jump to that. It was cool. I underlined it too.
I thought that was so cool. He said that nature exists in a state of unconscious oneness with the whole. This, for example, is why virtually no wild animals were killed in the tsunami disaster of 2004. Being more in touch with the totality than humans, they could sense the tsunami's approach long before it could be seen or heard, which is like...
insane.
It's like we think we're so smart as humans because we are, but just in a completely different sense than being in touch with the earth.
Yeah. I literally could not believe this. The fact that he said they sensed their approach long before enough to withdraw to higher terrain. And then he talks about how doing this because of that is the mind's way of cutting up reality. Whereas nature lives in unconscious oneness with the whole. So it's like doing the thing based on this in-tuneness to the present moment and not trying to like make sense of everything. It reminds me of like gut intuition. I highlighted at the top of this exact page, the whole. He keeps calling it the whole.
I like that.
It was difficult for me a bit. He says the whole is made up of existence and being. The manifested and the unmanifested, the world and God. So when you become aligned with the whole, you become a conscious part of the interconnectedness of the whole and its purpose, the emergence of consciousness into this world. I think we've talked about on this show too, how like everything is connected in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have the awareness of that connectedness, of your connection to the universe, which is something I've been trying to tap in. Do you want to keep saying like, I don't know how to do this. Do I pray more? Do I have to believe in God? But really it's like this deep knowing that you are one with everything around you. What I thought was wild too was right below that he says, as a result of emerging with the whole, spontaneous, helpful occurrences, chance encounters, coincidences, and synchronistic events happen much more frequently. And I wrote 444 because I feel like... literally, when I was having my biggest breakthrough in this book and like making real changes in my life, I saw angel numbers everywhere.
Yeah. There's a book called Signs that I just love because I look for numbers, and I'm such a believer that the universe is always sending you signs and you just have to look for them. And I know that's woo-woo, but like, I just truly believe that everything is so connected that nothing happens by chance.
Which I do think makes a lot of sense. This chapter, though, is about purpose. How does that make you?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
You feel when you think about it and then reading this, did you feel like it was helping you discover your purpose in life?
I thought this was super helpful for me because I struggle at work specifically to like make it meaningful, understand what the deeper purpose at work is, and not just in my job, because I love my job. I love the people I'm around. I am generally happy on a day-to-day basis at work, but it's more just the zoom out concept of business as a whole that I'm like, I struggle to get on board with. Like, I think there's jobs that are so meaningful, like yours, like you are making a direct impact for something that I deem as very important on a day-to-day basis. But if you boil down a lot of jobs, like crunching numbers and shuffling papers, which he talks about, I'm like, is that what we're here for? So I struggle at work when I'm talking to a client that it feels phony. Do either of us really want to be talking about business? Is this just silly? Mm-hmm. When you zoom out of it? And he says, when you meet with people at work or wherever it may be, give them your fullest attention. You are no longer there primarily as a person, but as a field of awareness. The original reason for interacting with the other person, buying or selling something, requesting or giving information, and so on, now becomes secondary, which I think is so important. Like, that's when I tap into meaning. When I'm out with a client talking to them about buildings, I'm like, do you care? Do I care? It feels so surface level. But then once you start talking to them about where they're from, where they grew up, you know, what inspired them to start their company, like, that's when I feel so authentic and present with them.
I love that so much. I'm so glad that you brought this up, because I highlighted this exact part and I wrote, yes, trying to be on a call and not be sending emails at the same time or texting. I feel like I'm not always really good at being present with the people that I work with. I always feel like there's more to do or there's things that are more pressing, which like isn't good. And so when you're in that work situation, or anyone is, and they're not being in it, is what he's trying to differentiate between this whole chapter.
Do you ever feel like you're recording Real Pod and like you're half mentally elsewhere? Like, do you find a difference in your interviews when you're like fully locked in?
Of course. That happens, not the majority of the time. Like, I just did an interview where I was like, fuck, like, I didn't prepare well enough. I rolled out of bed. I wasn't really present. They're talking and I'm thinking in my head about XYZ. Yes, of course, yeah, that happens. I'm human. Most of the time, I would say it doesn't, which is great. But I think that this difference is the biggest thing. He says, your life has an inner purpose and an outer purpose. Inner purpose concerns being and is primary. Outer purpose concerns doing and is secondary. So I think it's totally fine if you're like, you know what? I love real estate. I like the company I'm at. Or you're not even like, I love. I enjoy it. I enjoy talking to people. I love my company, the people that I work with. And you're connected to that inner source of your inner purpose is being presence and awareness and wholeness.
Yeah.
And then you allow that to make the real estate that you do like more enjoyable and fulfilling.
I completely agree. What he does a good job of is like making success achievable for everyone. No matter what your day job is, you can find purpose.
Completely. And I know you were telling me the other day you're working on a listing, finding space for this like dog shop parlor, you know? And it's like you find them the best office space possible and then they impact the lives of these dogs. And like, you don't know who's going to work there. That's going to be like, I love going to work every day. It was my first job, or it's like my favorite place. You know, I think it's once again, that ripple effect of, we might not feel it now, but it could happen down the line. Even like we're checking into this hotel. It's like a random hotel in the middle of nowhere where I'm out here for speaking. And the guy at the front desk is super nice and friendly. That has an impact. It impacts me. It impacts people he sees. And he's not thinking, oh, I just work the front desk at this small hotel. He makes the most of it. And this is something that you're right. Like, I do feel tons of purpose in my job. But of course, there are ways that I can do this better where I feel less stress and less anxiousness, like, which I shouldn't. Like, I have found success working for myself, doing something amazing, and yet I still do, because that's the ego. And that's when he talks about that thinking mind comes in and messes it up. But he says on 275, not everybody will have to go through drastic change in their external circumstances. At the other end of the spectrum, you have people who stay exactly where they are and keep doing whatever they're doing, which when I read that, I thought that's probably me. He says, for them, only the how changes, not the what. This is not due to fear or inertia. What they are doing already is a perfect vehicle for consciousness to come into this world, and it needs no other. They too bring into manifestation the new earth. So to give an example of this, I had a business call the other day with a mentor, and I was saying like what I wanted to do and blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, this is going to be a smart business move for my revenue streams. And he goes, you know, okay, yeah, that's all good. He goes, so what's your vision? And I was like,
what? Zoom out.
Yeah, he's like, what's your vision? You should be able to tell me in two sentences. And then when I ask you, what is the why behind your vision? You should also be able to answer that automatically in two sentences. And I was like, fuck, like I haven't done the, like I could say I want to help people. That's a good why. But like, I need to get granular about like, how am I trying to help people? And what sort of help am I giving? Because there's specific help, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so interesting.
And I think for everyone, like, we need to come up with what our vision is and why that's our vision. And I think the misconception that we all need to be Mother Teresa or we all need to become Eckhart Tolle and write this book. Oh my God, I couldn't believe he won a lottery ticket and he was so poor. I had no idea about that part of the story.
I know.
It literally says that Eckhart dropped out of this promising education career, ran out of money, bought a lottery ticket for $1,000, which kept him going to write The Power of Now, his first book.
Crazy.
But I think people think we have to be these Mark Zuckerberg type names or Steve Jobs. And really, you don't.
You know what's funny is that I literally wrote down Steve Jobs because when Eckhart talks about success, I have so much to say on the success part. The other day, I don't even know if I mentioned this in the podcast, but I said something like, God, I can't wait till I'm successful. And Wood was like, what do you mean by that? And he was like pressing me on what I meant by it. And I was like, I don't know. It was a throwaway comment. And I can't wait till I'm successful. But to me, I probably would have defined it as like, I'm far up in my career. I've made a ton of money. Like people recognize my name. The typical surface level things that people associate with success. And Eckhart says that some say success is the result of a combination of hard work and luck or determination and talent or being in the right place at the right time. While any of these may be determinants of success, they are not its essence. What the world doesn't tell you, because it doesn't know, is that you cannot become successful. You can only be success.
Mm-hmm.
You can only be successful. And I wrote down Steve Jobs next to the part where he says, if you make a product or service that sells money, is it successful? Yes, in conventional terms. But in reality, you've spent 2 years polluting your body as well as the earth with negative energy, made yourself and those around you miserable, and affected many others you never even met. which if you read about Steve Jobs, everyone knows who he is, but everyone says he's kind of an asshole. So it's like, I don't know what level of good and positivity and negativity.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a farmer somewhere that no one knows that has been so nice to every single person who's ever come to like buy their strawberries. I couldn't even choose what to highlight, but I just drew a box around the entire page. I mean, I feel like this has been something you and I have been toying with this whole time is like, wait, then how do we think about the future? How do we want to be successful? I love that he like did get to this. I'm like, chapter 9 is kind of late, buddy. I'm like,
I'm like we're going to put this at the intro?
Or he could have been like, just put your careers on hold until we get there.
Yeah.
But he says how success and our idea of success is so wound up in this idea of time. And on the page right before that, 269, he says, your primary purpose is to enable consciousness to flow into what you do. The secondary purpose is whatever you want to achieve through the doing. Whereas the notion of purpose before, like society's belief, was always associated with future. There's now a deeper purpose that can only be found in the present through the denial of time. And then right after that is when he says the quote you mentioned, when you meet with people at work, you're no longer there as a person, but as a field of awareness. So I think that like something we all need to take with us is, and gosh, like I highlighted 270, 271, 272, that if we're not able to feel content in the present moment, we're never going to be able to experience that happiness we think success is going to give us. And I loosely gave that like nugget on it on that beginning of that one episode from Nicole. Just this whole idea of like, if you can't be present now and enjoy the present moment now, how do you expect yourself to flip on this switch of knowing how to be present when you get the thing you want? You can't.
Yeah, it's crazy. What did you think about the way he set up this chapter with the call and response questions and answers?
I thought it was helpful. It's so funny you say that because...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I was also like, who do we get to write these questions? Because I'm thinking it was Eki trying to put himself in our shoes.
Yeah, he's like, what was it like when I was 4 and unconscious?
No, but I'm like, I needed these questions to be a little bit more... Like, I did think the questions were powerful, like, especially when she says, but if I'm present all the time, then I would never want to change my situation because I'd be thinking about the future and how I'd want to change it. Like,
yeah.
I thought that that was helpful.
That was a question I definitely have had, too.
Yeah. And he says on 275, being at one with what is doesn't mean you no longer initiate change or become incapable of taking action. But the motivation to take action comes from a deeper level, not from egoic wanting or fearing. Oh, my God. I have an example of this.
Oh, my God. Yay.
Literally something happened this past weekend that was usually incredibly jarring for me and would have been something that like really set me off and made me probably cry and like ruin my whole day. And although the thing that happened was not in alignment with my boundaries that I've set and it wasn't something that I will tolerate, I did the work in this moment. It's so crazy. It's so wild when you're reading this book and then like it happens. So I'm sitting there And, you know, the best I can say is, like, I have been incredibly disappointed, disrespected, and boundaries have been crossed in this moment. And I thought to myself, I can get up from this table, throw a tantrum, storm out of here. I can do all these negative things and disrupt this evening for everyone else here. Or I could recognize that that's the little me. I was sitting there thinking to myself, that's the little me. I'm like, or I can take some deep breaths, recognize that this is not personal, that this person is suffering deeply, and that I would like to be with the other people who are here. I would like to maintain a pleasant attitude and emotions because it's nice for me. Then add suffering to my life, freak out, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so to his point, I'm not tolerating it. The next day, I had a conversation with this person and was really proud of the conversation and the things that I said. But what wasn't there was the crying breakdown, the depressive mentality the next morning that I woke up, the fit thrown in front of the people. Like, I really feel like I was at one with that moment. I said, this is where we are. I can't change it. How do I want to respond?
I think what also shows that you've done the work, and aside from taking it all with a grain of salt at that dinner, is the fact that during chapter two, this would have been the first thing you said on this podcast. And you literally just had to be like, oh, wait, something happened to me. You know what I mean? Like, you weren't carrying that. You put her down.
Oh my God. You're so right. You know what I mean? Wait, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Like, you would have gotten on and been like, let me tell you guys something.
Yes.
Some shit went down.
Which is an example of like how it would have been stirring in me. And then I would have had this like, this proudness to share it,
yes.
Which like, of course I'm proud of myself for handling this, but like, you're so right. Even the delay of forgetting that this occurred just further proves how enlightened I am. No, yes. I'm kidding.
Yes, queen. Little Ecky.
Little Eckies. We're little Eckies. So that was a win for me. So like, I get what he's saying. It has only come to me in some moments. It's really hard in others. What about you? I mean, the play-in situation, have you noticed any, now that we're nearing the end of the book, especially talking about this chapter in particular of outer and inner purpose?
Back to the play-in situation, just if we're going full scope with the book, I genuinely have nothing but compassion and empathy for that guy who tried to take down the play-in. There's zero part of my body that feels angry or, and like, who knows if the situation turned out differently. Of course, it's easier to be like, I have nothing but compassion when nothing bad did happen. But like, truly, I feel so sorry for his kids. I feel so sorry for whatever mental health break that he had that caused him to do that. I truly do not think he's a bad person, which is insane. But like, no part of me holds anything but sympathy.
Wow. It's giving little Ecky.
It's giving little Ecky. But like, without even trying, like, it's not like I had to get to this place, but like, for what? Why be angry at this guy? He has a family. Like, his neighbors and kids and wife are probably so confused. He's probably confused. I don't know. And if we're going to go Ecky with it, his ego did that, not him. So.
Yeah. Wow, Obs. That's major.
I mean, yeah.
I totally follow your train of thought, too. Like, what are you going to do? Sit and be like, I fucking hate this guy, and I'm going to follow his jail sentencing, and I hope he gets put behind bars.
Yeah.
That doesn't make your life better.
No, my godfather, who's like so sweet, and saw a news article with my name in it, called me and left me like a 3-minute voicemail being like, we need to get you counsel. Like, you're going to be part of like a big trial, like whatever. And like, if it's up to me, I don't think this is going to happen. But like, if it's up to me, like, I want no part of it. Like,
yeah.
Wait,
I wonder if because you've been doing interviews, the court could like subpoena you to like come in and speak.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. I was just kind of enjoying my 5 minutes of fame. And then my godfather left me a scary voicemail and I was like, God, shoot, what'd I do?
No, you're going to be fine. I think they could call in a witness, but you could probably decline it. I don't know. We'll have to figure out legally.
I don't know. Well, that's not the present moment, so it's not my problem.
I'll deal with it when we get there. Right. Oh my gosh, I love that.
What did you think on 273? I was just like, this just speaks to us. But he says, other kinds of change may suddenly come to you from without. Does that make sense?
Before that, he's talking about the process of elimination. Like, you realize what doesn't serve you in life and you get rid of those things. And then other kinds of change may suddenly come to you from without, like without those things that
Right. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. And then he says, a chance meeting brings new opportunity and expansion into your life. A long-standing obstacle or conflict dissolves. Your friends either go through this inner transformation with you or drift out of your life. Some relationships dissolve, others deepen. I feel like it took me 25 years to figure out that I didn't have to hold on to every friendship. And letting people and relationships drift isn't always a bad thing. It's just people can hold space for different things in their life at different times. And it took me a long time to realize that, but it just made me so grateful that, like, somehow after 25 years, we have always remained this close and on the same page about everything.
I know. It's, like, so wild. The fact that we can have these conversations and that we were, like, so different in the sense of what we did in college and even our want desires in high school, like, we're just different, yeah. But so similar, like, at our core. But then it goes back to, like, faith. How were we neighbors on 72 and 74 and born the same year, 3 days apart, and went to the same school?
K through college. Like, how are we college roommates after being neighbors?
And we've never had a big falling out.
No. We've never even had a fight. We've had a discussion.
We've had fights, but we argue like we're married.
Like, we argued like a married couple.
We're like, it's us against the point, and we're a team.
Yeah. I'm like, what can we do as a unit to move forward over this hurdle?
Yeah. And you're the only person, too, who, like, if I remotely, like, I can't be stubborn with you. I could be stubborn with everyone else. But if I remotely do anything. Really? Yeah. I feel
like. Am I stubborn back?
To me? No, yeah. I don't think we're stubborn to each other. I think I'm trying to say if we had the same argument with anyone else. Whereas, like, when you come to me and say, I don't like the way you said this, I'm like, hands down, guards down, I'm so sorry. Whereas if it was Max, I'd be like, what did I even say?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, can you put it on paper? We're having this discussion. Oh, we were having a discussion about tone versus actual transcript. And
who you and what?
Yeah. And, like, I was like, I don't like your tone. He's like, look at what I said. I'm like, I said I didn't like your tone. Not what you said. What you said was fine. You play back the script, it was fine. But you and I, it's always, like, led with such compassion and softness.
I think there's truth to that, though. Tone does have an effect on how things are received. And I feel like what Eckhart said in one of the chapters about having a high quality no or a high quality confession, rejection, boundary setting. I've been trying to think about that a lot. How can I say something that the transcript is a boundary or seems stern or seems blah, 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 but the way that I say it doesn't have any sense of jab. And that's something I need to get better at.
Yes.
But to your point about reading, like, things in your life will change, I do love how we've stayed so close. And I will say that, like, I related to a lot of his comparisons there. I do feel like I've had long-term issues that suddenly don't feel as deep because of the work that I've done through this book. Or I haven't even noticed people drift. Like, I'm not to a place where I'm like, oh my God, if you haven't done this work and you don't get it, I don't want to be your friend. It's more so just like, I do feel like we're friends operating on this different wavelength of, like, I feel like I'm constantly tapping into this third dimension of our interactions and you're not, and it's fine. And I will carry that weight is kind of how I approach it.
I also find that our conversations are different. The gossiping has just subsided. Not even intentionally, but, like, I don't sit there and shit talk anyone anymore. Obviously things come up, but, like, not the way it used to be. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't fucking say anything at all. I'm like, my mom's right.
That's funny.
I find myself, like, filling space, I think, with gossip before. And, like, now I genuinely appreciate the silence.
Yeah. I feel like having these deep conversations also makes it harder to, like, tolerate and sit through the very vanilla ones.
Dude, yes. I was at a wedding and I was talking to someone and it was like we were both, like, just chatting. And I was just like, do we need to be doing this?
Can we not? Well, that is one of my things is I'm like, oh God, I don't want to meet someone and talk if I'm never going to see you again. Like, what's the point? Like, let's both just, like, have our water and, like, who cares? But I feel like that's such a negative mindset because it's like,
so bad.
You're judging this person based on, like, I don't need another friend. They don't look like they'd be my friend. But you never know what could come out of the conversation if you met it with, like, complete openness.
Completely. I did not have a an open mindset that day. I felt it in myself. Like, I was having such a hard time, like, being open. It just, like, seeps in to every conversation. And, like, you know, the other person can probably feel it. Whereas yesterday, for whatever reason, I was just, like, probably just in a chatty mood. I went into this work event that I was at, and I was just talking to all these strangers. I got a ride home with someone. Like, so fun. Like, we had a good time because, like, yeah. And I'm like, we had a good time. I have no idea if they had a good time. I was having a great time because I was open and wanted to chat with everyone and get to know them. And that was the mood I was in. So, like, tapping into that mood is something I'd like to work on.
Yeah, but I do feel like it's okay to not always feel that way. Like, yesterday I got off of a plane and we had this 2-hour Uber drive, and, like, the Uber driver just would not stop talking. And, like, I'm not here to talk. I click the little thing that says no conversation, to which the Uber driver literally said, I see you click the no conversation thing, so I should quit yapping or something. I'm like, how awkward that you said that out loud. What am I supposed to say? Yes, please. Now I'm going to say, wait, no, don't worry about it.
I had one that said the same thing, and I'm like, well, now I feel like we have to talk.
I do think I struggle to find what's the happy medium of being like, God, it's like you don't want to be somewhere. You have to be somewhere, and, like, you have to put on a face. I hate putting on a face, but not everyone, yeah. Like, I wish you could say, everyone raise your hand if you also came here and put a fake smile on. I wish we could do that.
You know what's so funny is I think about that every time I'm getting my hair done. Like, you know how your hairdressers, like, talk to you the entire time, basically? A lot of times I don't want to be talking. Like, I just want to sit and scroll on my phone and have the 3 hours of peace. And yes, that's how long it takes for them to do my hair. and, like, we're chatting and I'm like, I wish I could just, like, be like, do you want to be talking right now or do you need a break? You probably talk to everyone all day long.
I try to be super upfront. Like, it makes me feel better if I sometimes, like, when I have glam before an event and they come to do my makeup, I'll be like, I wish I could catch up with you more, but I have to finish some of these emails in the chair. And they're like, no worries. I just like to say it. It makes me feel better. Sometimes too, in events, I'll be like, sorry if I'm seeming so low energy and not super chatty. I've had the longest day. And then I feel like they're like, oh, no worries. Like, if someone said that to me, I would get it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it's like, are they going to say, oh, why has your day been hard? And I'm like, I don't want to open up to you.
We're not going to do this. Listen to my podcast.
I don't know. But, see, why didn't Eki put that in the call and response? This is why he should have consulted us.
Wait, that's why we need him for episode 10.
He recently went on a podcast, so, like, he's gettable.
I mean, Eki, if you're listening.
There's no way
he's
listening.
We're your two biggest fans besides Oprah.
But hopefully. Okay, real quick. The one last thing I want to say before we go, super short, is on 276, I highlighted this paragraph. The other more serious reason for the illusion of separateness is compulsive thinking. It is when we are trapped in incessant streams of compulsive thinking that the universe really disintegrates for us and we lose the ability to sense the interconnectedness of all that exists. Thinking cuts reality up into lifeless fragments. Extremely unintelligent and destructive actions arise out of such fragmented views of reality. I thought this was powerful because he's saying, if you're not feeling the unity with the world between you and the universe, one of the biggest reasons is the fact that you're having thoughts, trying to, like, justify everything, tie it to a present moment, quantify the what, the why, the how. And I just thought that, like, the idea that I could be in a sticky situation or we could feel like we're in this place and actually the best thing we can do for 10 minutes is to have no thoughts and, like, just try to breathe and be present and then come back to it. There's no way to find the best solution when you're just thinking about it.
I feel that. Like, even if I get in an argument or disagreement, you start mind racing, thinking, like, just catastrophic thoughts, and then you come back to it 10 minutes later and you're like, oh, this is absolutely nothing that I made it out to be.
Literally. I feel like I have that all the time. Okay, yay. Well, I mean, that was chapter 9.
Short sweet
cute. And I cannot believe we have one more chapter. I will say, like, I don't know if it's, I got so much from the beginning of the book, but I really feel like ever since chapter 6, seven.
Yeah.
No, or was it 7? Was 7 the seven. Crazy one that we needed to, I yes. literally feel like ever since chapter 7, I might be at, like, a little bit of a mental fatigue. Like,
I think so, like, too.
Shoving in room in my brain for 8, 9, and 10 has been quite hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, we're really, but I also feel like he's like, should have started with these, but I guess he needed to prep us for them.
Yeah, I do feel like he kind of did everything he needed to do. And now he's kind of like, and here are some important things when applying it to your real life, which like is important.
Right. Right.
And I will say, I think a lot of people do like read this book in phases. And the fact that we've been grinding it out every week is like a fucking lot on top of our lives and work. So I have compassion for us.
I have compassion for us too.
Okay. We will. Okay. Well, I love you. And we're back next week for the last So Much to Say episode ever.
Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Obs and I are so excited to read the next chapter of A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. We'll be back again next Friday with our recap, so you have plenty of time to read if you want to keep up with us. Be sure to follow the show on Instagram at RealPod. So Much to Say is a part of the RealPod family, so you get everything right there. And you can also follow us individually at Victoria Brown and at Aubrey Gavello. Okay, thank you, love you, and we'll see you next week.